أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Last week we were talking about fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we also spoke about hope for Allah's forgiveness and mercy. We took some time to talk about the two topics. I think it was 2 weeks. And then Haji Amin was asking me about love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why is it that the ulama, when they talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they talk about fear and they never talk about love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or Allah's love towards his creatures, including the human beings? Last year, I think at the beginning of it, I happened to state the condition for the acceptance of ibadah. I did say that we are created to perform ibadah, and ibadah, if it is to be translated into English, it means acts of devotion or worship, which is a bit limited in a meaning. But to do that which is required by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever has been commanded by him, if it is to be done by a Muslim, then that is called ibadah. There are three conditions for the acceptance of ibadah. Many ulama will call these the principles upon which ibadah is based. Number one is fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two is hope for his forgiveness. And number three is love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Most ulama do believe if the ibadah is done and these three are not there, that ibadah is not accepted by him. If you happen to do the ibadah based on the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and you don't have hope for his rahmah, and you don't have the love of Allah, that ibadah will be rejected by him. The same thing, if you happen to do ibadah hoping for Allah's forgiveness, but you don't have fear of his punishment and love of him, the ibadah will be rejected by him. These kind of views will be, inshallah, elaborated upon in this lecture. But for your information, I have to tell you that this topic cannot be covered in just one lecture today, because it does involve a lot of things. The one I'm going to deal with today will be Allah's love towards his parents, towards his creatures, and we, our love towards our parents, towards our children, towards our prophet, and towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those will be discussed next week. So what is Allah's love towards his creatures, in particular human beings? And what should be our love towards him? The ulama have stated different views regarding that, and I will begin with some of the views stated by them regarding love. Firstly, it is stated by the ulama that whoever happens to perform ibadah based on love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is called zindiq. What is the meaning of zindiq? The word zindiq is actually translated as munafiq. During the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, most sahaba used the word zindiq to refer to a munafiq, a hypocrite, one who shows two faces. He shows iman but he's hiding kufr. And why do they call him zindiq? Because he's the person who happens to hide something. Whoever hides something in his heart, he does not show it, and what is hiding is bad, is zindiq. So one who performs the ibadah based on love alone is a zindiq, because the munafiqun, hypocrite, used to think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves his creatures, and for this reason he cannot punish them. There is no need to fear him. There is no need to do ibadah based on the hope for his rahmah, because it will automatically be given, because Allah loves everybody. Those are the munafiqun, and whoever wants his ibadah to be accepted should avoid doing it based on love alone. And whoever happens to perform ibadah based on fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is called haruri. What is the meaning of haruri? Haruri actually is a village which is very near to Kufa in Iraq. And the reason why they call somebody who performs ibadah based on the fear of Allah alone haruri is because it is from this village, Haruri, that the Khawarij started, or Kharijites. And who are the Khawarij or Kharijites? These are the people who decided to leave Ali, radiallahu anhu, and it started a group of people who devoted themselves to ibadah. And they did spend their time doing ibadah. The type of ibadah they did, as I did tell you last time, nobody can do it among us. Why? Because they used to spend the whole day fasting and the whole night praying. But they did whatever they did based on the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They did not hope for His rahmah, not even His love. They used to think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is punishing, is the punishing God. Only if you do ibadah and you spend the whole of your life struggling to please Him, you will not be forgiven by Him. And they did announce that whoever commits a sin, even if it is considered to be minor, that one will not be forgiven by Allah. They also made a statement that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forgive anybody who after iman happens to commit a sin. So those who are forgiven are the ones who commit sins before they embrace Islam. After you get to know about Allah, whatever mistake you do, Allah will not forgive you. He has to punish you. So they declared all the rest of the Muslims to be believers. And they are the only believers. Indeed, they killed a lot of Muslims, claiming that they are not believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ أَبَدَ اللَّهَ بِالرَّجَاءَ وَحْدَهُ فَهُوَ مُرْجِئِ. And they say, whoever happens to perform ibadah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala based on hope alone is called murji. Or murji'ites. Probably you've heard about these people, murji'ites. Who are the murji'ites or al-murji'ah? Al-murji'ah, these are the people who happen to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to forgive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give paradise to whoever believes in Him. It doesn't matter what you do. If you happen to say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah, whatever you happen to do will not affect your iman. Because paradise is given based on iman. Therefore, whoever has declared that there is no God but Allah, Muhammad is His prophet, is assured of getting paradise, even if he doesn't do anything. So the murji'ah did not incline towards the aman, but they performed certain things which are wrong, hoping that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to forgive them. So the three groups of people we have seen, none of them actually is considered to be good according to the ulama, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to punish all of these who have based their ibadah on fear alone, or based their ibadah on hope for Allah's rahmah alone, without fear, or based their ibadah on love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without the fear of His punishment. So for this reason, the three must be present in every ibadah that you do. The ulama do explain and they say that when somebody is doing ibadah, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should hate everything. You do it based on love. What incites you to do the ibadah should be love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you happen to embark upon the ibadah, then you need to have things like wings. One wing is the fear of His punishment, another one is the hope for His forgiveness. So the two are considered to be wings of the believer. He flies by these two, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and at the same time the hope for His forgiveness. There must be a balance between the two, the fear of Allah and hope for His forgiveness. If you happen to be overwhelmed by the fear of Allah, so that you don't hope for His forgiveness, or your hope for His forgiveness is less, then you're not a believer. If you hope so much for His forgiveness and your fear of Him is less, you are also not a believer, until you happen to balance between the two. But ahead of you is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we shall talk more details about the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They also say that al-mahabba hiya aslul amali kulliha. They say that love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is supposed to be the origin of every good deed, is the basis. Aslul. is the basis of every good thing that we do, which is called ibadah. There is no ibadah which you should ever do without the love of Allah. Why? Because ibadah involves a lot of hardship. Doing ibadah is not something easy. Sometimes you have to wake up from your sleep, let's say for subuh, and you don't feel well in the morning. Yet because you love Allah, you force yourself to get up and you do it. Sometimes there are certain conditions which may not allow you to do ibadah, but because you love Allah, you do the ibadah. So it is the love of Allah which will lead you to all the ibadah, as the ulama say. And then they do say that it is also the hakikatul ibadah. It is the essence of ibadah. The love of Allah is the essence of ibadah. What does it mean? It means that whatever ibadah you do, you must aim at this, to attain Allah's love. If you are deprived of Allah's love, then your ibadah has benefited you nothing. You do it based on love, and you intend to get Allah's love. That is another point raised by the ulama. ولهذا كان رأس الإيمان الحب في الله والبغض في الله وكان من حب الله من حب في الله وأبغض في الله وآتى لله ومنع لله فقد استكمل الإيمان. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said, based upon this, whoever happens to love somebody because of Allah, he loves somebody because he loves Allah, and then he happens to be angry with somebody because he loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this person has done something which annoys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he gives based on the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he refuses to give based on the love of Allah, this person is considered to have had his iman complete. So the completion of iman is based upon the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you do ibadah because of the love of Allah, and you love somebody because of the love of Allah, you hate somebody because you love Allah, you give because you love Allah, you refuse to give because you love Allah, then according to this hadith which is reported by Imam Abu Dawood, that person's iman is considered to be complete. And whoever does not have this, his iman is incomplete. After this point, we need to continue with what the ulama have said about all this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and the interpretation of this verse will be given later, Surah Al-Isra, Ayah 57. Al-Isra 57. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أولئك الذين يدعون يبتغون إلى ربهم الوسيلة أيهم أقرب ويرجون رحمته ويخافون عذابه. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised some human beings considered to be the believers in him, and he says those are the ones who happen to do whatever amal they do seeking the way that will lead them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when they are doing it, they base actually on love, according to the interpretation given by the ulama, and then they hope for Allah's forgiveness and they fear his punishment. They say that the three which we have outlined here, the fear of Allah, hope for Allah's forgiveness, love of Allah, as stated in this particular chapter and in this particular verse of the Quran, which is Al-Isra 57. That the first part of the ayah is referring to love of Allah, and the second part is referring to the hope for Allah's forgiveness, and then the last part is referring to the fear of Allah's azab. Ibn Kathir, one of the interpreters of the Quran, he says, لا تتم الإبادة إلا بالخوف والرجاء. He says, ibadah is not complete until somebody attains the three which we have outlined. Otherwise, the ibadah will not be considered complete and will be rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? He says, because the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will abstain you from committing the haram, whatever has been prohibited by him. You are going to avoid it because you fear Allah. The fear of Allah here means that you feel somehow ashamed to do something which has been committed by him. Just as you feel ashamed to do something wrong in the presence of the people who know you. Somebody who respects you and he loves you, you fear to do something wrong in front of him. And he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is present everywhere and is looking, watching over everything that we do, we need to fear him. That the fear of him should make us ashamed of doing something wrong. But at the same time, we should fear his punishment, which is going to give to those who committed the wrong things. And he says that the hope for Allah's forgiveness will lead you to doing what is considered to be obligatory. What is it? All the amal that we do, salah, zakah, and others, which have been commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are done because we hope for Allah's forgiveness. If it is not because we hope for His forgiveness, there is no reason why we should spend our time performing the salah that we perform every day. There is no reason why somebody should get up, you know, in the darkness of the night from his sleep to perform the ibadah. Unless somebody gets to hope for Allah's forgiveness, somebody gets to hope for Jannah, that Allah will give it to him. Then you spend your life actually committing whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded. You abstain from what He has forbidden because you fear His azab. But then at the same time, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make you increase the ibadah. So the increase of the ibadah is based upon the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without the love of Allah, you will never increase your obligation or obligatory acts which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded. So the explanation is also given by other ulama that these three must be present in every ibadah. But if somebody performs the ibadah and he happens not to attain the fear of Allah from his ibadah, and it's not because the fear of Allah has incited you to perform the ibadah, but you just do it, it's not because the love of Allah has led you to that ibadah, it's not because the hope for Allah's forgiveness has led you to the ibadah, but you're just doing it. Why? You are used to doing it. Your father instructed you to perform the ibadah, the salah, 5 times a day, and you are used to doing it. Every day you don't miss the salah because it becomes like a custom. And you do it continuously like that until you die. But you've never thought about the fear of Allah. You've never thought about the hope for Allah's forgiveness, not even the love of Allah. Would that ibadah be accepted by him? The ulama say no. Such ibadah will not be accepted. Why? Sheikh Abdul Rahman Sadi, in his tafsir, he has explained this issue regarding somebody who performs the ibadah not because of the fear of Allah's punishment, not because he hopes for Allah's forgiveness, not because he loves Allah. Such a person, according to him, is considered to have a loss, and this is considered to be the greatest loss. Al-Qur'an al-Mubin, the greatest loss. And he also says that if somebody does not attain these three in his ibadah, such a person will not be changed. His behavior will remain the same. It will be almost impossible to change him, to make him a good Muslim, if he does not fear the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in his mind there is no hope for Allah's forgiveness. He does not think about paradise, and he has never attained the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he got to love Allah so that he did something based on the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such a person, if you are to change him, he says, to change him is almost impossible. After this, we see another scholar, Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, actually, in his explanation of these two things, he happened to refer to Surah Al-Fatiha, which we do read in our Salah. He said that the first three verses of Surah Al-Fatiha do point to the fear, hope, and love. In what way? He says the first ayah, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, that is referring to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen refers to love of Allah. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim refers to the hope for Allah's forgiveness. Malik Yawmiddin refers to the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In what way? Because when you say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, you are praising Allah, the Lord of all creatures. He is the Lord of all creatures and is showing love to every creature, including the disbelievers in him. And if you do remember, I did quote one hadith in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if it is not because of the love of Allah, the disbelievers in him wouldn't get even a drop of water. They wouldn't get a drop of water. But they are enjoying water, they enjoy all blessings of Allah. And Allah keeps them in good health. And they enjoy all kinds of good things because he loves them. So it is given to everybody regardless of whether he has performed what Allah has commanded or not. That is why we praise him. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Praise be to him, the Lord of everything. He's the Lord. The word Rabb as translated, it means one who creates and one who takes care of what he has created. So Allah has created the human beings and he has not left them on their own, but he is taking care of them every moment. There is no moment Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ever deserted you. He left you to be on your own. If Allah is to leave you to be on your own, you will not survive even 1 second. Why? Because even if you may not realize that, your life is in his hands. He's holding you, and every human being is actually in his hands. As the hadith says, our lives are in Allah's hands, and he is the one to decide what to do with you. He's monitoring everything, and nothing can be hidden away from him. So because he's continuously taking care of you, providing whatever you need to live here, is doing that based on love. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, when you read those two names of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, they actually talk about the hope for Allah's forgiveness. If you do remember, we talked about Rahma of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got 100 parts of Rahma. And only one part is given to us here in the dunya. It is based on this one part of Rahma that you see every living creature is enjoying that kind of life you see them enjoying. To the extent that the animals, they will take care of their babies based on this one part of Rahma which Allah has sent to the dunya. And 99 have been kept for Akhirah. And this one will also be taken back, and it will be 100% on the day of judgment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to judge the people based on 100% Rahma on the day of judgment. Whoever will be deprived of Allah's Rahma on the day of judgment will be the greatest loser on that day, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. So that is why we say Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. When you say that, you have to hope for Allah's forgiveness on that day of judgment. And then Malik Yawmiddin is talking about Allah as the king of the day of judgment. If you have read the ahadith on the day of judgment, you realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to bring all the creatures, and they will stand before him. Everybody will be completely naked, not even having a cloth like the day you came out of your mother's womb. And it will show that everybody is miskin. Everybody is in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then people will be crying, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask, Limanil mulkul yawm? Who owns the power today? And everybody will say, Lillahi al-wahidul qahhar. It belongs to you, Allah, the only God, the one who forces people to be in that kind of situation. Why? Because in the dunya, some people used to be raised above others. They had the power, they could command. Others used to obey them. They used to fear them. If you don't do what he likes or what he commands, he punishes you, he kills you. Fir'aun, Namrud, and others, people feared them. They hid a lot. Why? Because they had the power. So on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be the only one having the power. And for that reason, everybody will be in fear. So when you say, Malik Yawmiddin, what should cross your mind in your salah is the day of judgment, when you'll be standing before him, and he's the only one having the power to decide, and you are in his skin. What he says is what has to happen. So these three ayat in the Surah Al-Fatiha, or in the opening chapter, which begins, of course, the chapter, and we read these verses every day, at least 17 times a day. We read these, they remind us about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the one who has gotten the punishment. the one who forgives and the one who loves. So from there we say Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in. It is you whom we do worship. He, the one who has got the three things which we have outlined here. This kind of translation or interpretation is actually very, very beautiful.